What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. During the season of Epiphany, the church reads a lot from Holy Scripture about light. It begins with that light of the star that heralds Christ's birth to the Gentiles. Ends with, for Lutherans, the Transfiguration, where Christ is not only bathed in the light of God's glory, but he is the source of it. His very body is the source of it. It's no wonder then that during the Epiphany season, we would also be singing about light. There is an Epiphany hymn called, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, and we're going to be studying it, talking about that light and darkness in the season of Epiphany. It's a hymn that's not only good for Epiphany, but also for Advent, and perhaps even for the deathbed, and you'll find out here in the course of this conversation with Pastor Will Whedon exactly why. Joining us to study the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of the books Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and Celebrating the Saints. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Joy to be with you, Todd.
There are fellow Lutheran pastors, I would have been among them, I must admit, about a decade ago, who will never sing this hymn because the title sounds to them quite pietistic, because it contains phrases like, I want to follow Jesus, or shine in my heart, Lord Jesus, and they will just simply avoid their congregation singing this hymn. How would you respond to that?
You know, it drives me crazy when we have that kind of a response to actual... Let me back up. This entire hymn from start to finish is a tapestry or a mosaic of scripture. Almost the entire... The hymn itself is 100% word of God. So what people are objecting to, like, with follow Jesus, that's pietistic. Did Jesus say follow me? He did say follow me. How about that? Does scripture teach that Christ himself is to shine within us? Yes, we'll deal with the scriptures on that as we come through the hymn. But if you want to really argue against the hymn, let's be honest, people don't like it because it didn't arise from a Lutheran source. Here's something that's really cool, though, about the way Lutheran church has always dealt with hymnody. If what it says is true, if it accords with the word of God, it's ours. We don't care who wrote it. It's ours. If it holds the truth of the word of God before the people of God, the Lutheran Church has said that will be something that we can sing and put on the lips of our people. And this piece being so 100% scriptural from every single phrase, it is actually a wonderful gift. Now, that's one reason. You know, there's a second reason there. It sort of falls into a genre of the actual melody. Sounds an awful lot to people like, well, that sounds like praise music or something like that. And I'm not sure that's actually fair. It was written to be an anthem at first. It was not written out of, it arose in the Episcopal Church in the 60s. It was not written out of the charismatic movement or any of the praise music stuff. So that's actually not its origin at all. It just sounds like a folk piece, and that's really what most hymns are. They're folk pieces.
What do we know about the author and the circumstances of the authorship of this particular hymn?
Well, you know, we know, this is funny. Can you imagine this? It's 1966, and you're in St. Louis, and it's hot. Can you imagine hot summers in St. Louis? Wow. And this
prior
was
to air conditioning.
66, before you had, I mean, if you were a young up-and-coming person, you didn't have air conditioning, but your parents, who are back in Houston, might, in fact, did. So the author of this piece, she's the author of both text and the composer of the tune, Kathleen Thomerson, started writing it while she was in St. Louis, but decided it's time to get out of Dodge. And she and her family, you know, vacated to her parents' home in Houston. And she finished it. The name of the tune is Houston, by the way. She finished it up there in that town. And she wrote it just as a meditation, literally phrase by phrase, on this beautiful picture of Christ himself being light. Christ, our light. The Christ, the one who lightens us. And it seems like she knew her scriptures really, really well, because she goes and pulls from all over the scriptures to pull together a beautiful witness to Jesus himself shining his light into our lives and through our lives into the world. You know, we sort of sing it on Transfiguration when we come to, Jesus shining there on the mountaintop. And we sing "O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair," of glory that the church may share, which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows. The point is, this is not just for Jesus. He's showing you what he wants to do in and through you. The scriptures actually teach that at the time of the resurrection, Jesus said this, our bodies will rise, they will shine, right? Daniel 12. And when we shine in the light of Christ, it's going to be light shining in us, and it's also going to be the light shining on us in the kingdom.
Why is light such a strong image and emphasis in the season of Epiphany?
Well, it's still pretty, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's still pretty dark, and yet we begin to feel that the light is growing, it's starting to grow, and we recognize then that's a picture, it's just like, you're old enough, I know, you feel the cold and the winter and the gloom, it's just like it weighs you down, right?
Well, this cannot wait for it to be over.
Come spring, come summer, please, you know. And we recognize that that's something that's just deeper and more than the weather. There's darkness in this world too, all kinds of darkness. And above all, the darkness of humanity's rebellion against God. But there is a light that shines in this world, in human flesh, a light that shines of one who is completely obedient to the will of the Father all the way through to the very end. And who shines now. When John sees him in Revelation, he's shining, right? And John falls on his face before him. This Jesus, he is the light, and he's come to be light for us. In thy light do we see light.
The primary, we're going to go to a lot of different passages, because you said this is a mosaic of almost verbatim scripture quotes, but the primary biblical texts for "I want to walk as a child of the light," where would you direct us?
Well, you know, I would go to it's hard to do because there are so many, but the very first phrase suggests that what set her mind thinking was Ephesians 5. Listen to these words. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Walk as children of the light.
Let's listen to the first stanza. "I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus."
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus.
the University of Texas Chamber Singers with the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. What would you say about this first stanza? And since we'll deal with this refrain again and again here in the beginning of our conversation about that lovely refrain.
Yeah, first of all, you notice that you can hear that it was an anthem, right? I mean, it's designed for the choir to...
It's a choir piece.
It's a choir piece. But I mean, it works. Congregation can sing the melody and it works fine. I want what we've dealt with. I want to walk as a child of the light, Ephesians 5. I want to follow Jesus. That is to walk as a child of the light. But Jesus himself connects the two things together. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To walk with Jesus, to walk behind Jesus, to follow Jesus, that is to actually be walking in God's own light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We always think about that like the scripture. Think about that another way. Think about that like the word was made flesh. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus himself lights the way for us to follow. And through the darkness, if somebody's going ahead of you with the light, you can see where to go.
We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Pastor Will Wheadon is our guest, author of the books, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and Celebrating the Saints. When we come back, sometimes Lutherans shy away from the idea of following Jesus. We'll get Pastor Whedon's thoughts on that.
Who is your neighbor? And what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? This February, the Lutheran Witness is exploring what it looks like when Lutherans show God's love to neighbors in need. Highlights include one church's dramatic account of weathering Hurricane Michael and the profile of an LCMS-recognized service organization serving the poorest of the poor in rural Appalachia. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheadon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. LCMS Worship has produced several free resources, including Prayers of the Church, Kids in the Divine Service inserts, Hymn of the Day studies, and more. Check them out at lcms.org/worship, nurturing a culture and love of Lutheran heritage in Christian worship, LCMS Worship, lcms.org/worship. Well, I have noticed a tendency, and I probably would have been among those who did this a decade ago or so, to shy away from the notion of following Jesus, especially among Lutherans. They shy away from this idea. Are you concerned that sometimes happens?
Yeah, I mean, he invites us to literally walk behind him, to go the way that he goes.
In the Greek, and, in one gospel reading, he doesn't even say, follow me. He simply says, episo mu,
yeah,
behind me.
Behind me. Right, right, right. You know, fall in, is yes. what the military would say, right? And so you think of what Bonhoeffer said when he said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So we're following Christ to where he's going. He's going into death and he's going into resurrection. And when we follow him, we literally walk that path right behind him. And we really want to walk that path because there's only one who can get us from death into resurrection, and that is Jesus. So that's not quite the pietistic way of thinking about doing the, you know, I'm following Jesus by doing what he said. Well, yeah, you do need to do what he said. No denying that. But what he said was follow him, literally go after him, come behind him, and he is going to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death into to the kingdom where there will be a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. He's going to lead you as your shepherd. He's going to walk the way ahead of you, and he invites you to follow along right behind him. Again, the picture of the shepherd leading the sheep, right? I mean, that's not at all look at the sheep saying, look what I'm doing. I'm following my man. It's like, you know, hey, that's the guy that gets us the protection. He's the guy that gives us all of our nourishment. He's the guy that we need to be with to be safe. You go with him. You don't want to be separated from him.
The apostle speaks of him as the pioneer, the one who goes
right.
before of our faith.
Right.
He has to be the one to blaze the trail.
He's the trailblazer. Right, right, right. When thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. So, I mean, he literally goes through that way to open up the kingdom. But then back to the song, you know, God set the stars to give light to the world. Well, I'm Genesis 1, right? You know, he set the stars, the greater. Although it's funny that Genesis does, you know, he made the big light to rule the day, the little light to rule the night. Oh, and then he sprinkled around the stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. A very sort of an attacking way of speaking of the things which the heathens worshipped. You know, we're not even going to name the sun. We're not going to name the moon. It's just, you know, the big light, the little light, and then the shiny little stars God puts up there. But he puts them to give light on the earth. But you know, the star of my life is Jesus. And you think, well, where do we get that? Well, don't you sing how lovely shines the morning star? You know, I mean, where does that come from? Revelation 2:28, I'll give him the morning star. In 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Jesus is my star, my morning star. And remember how Peter would, he joined, thinking about the transfiguration in 2 Peter 1, he said, we have a word of prophecy made more sure. You better take heed to it as to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star, the sun, rises in your hearts. So then we move into the chorus. In him there is no darkness at all. Oh, 1 John 1:5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. Psalm 139, verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. And I saw no temple there in Revelation 21. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Shine in my heart, O Jesus. What about 2 Corinthians 4:6? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There it is.
This is a prayer. What are we praying for? Not only this first stanza, but the stanzas that are following.
This is a prayer of mystical union, truly. I mean, this is a prayer that the Christian prays that Christ himself may indwell them and that they may then literally from his presence in their lives shine forth his light into the world. Not that something they do, but as a result of him indwelling them, his presence in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul would say.
I want to return to that line there in the refrain, the Lamb is the light of the city of God, again, straight from the book of Revelation. Is there an eschatological element to this first stanza as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole hymn is eschatological, too, in the sense that recognizing that in this world, in this life, we have to make this a prayer because none of us are going to be shining the way that we will be on that day. But until that day, we pray that he would continue to come to us and fill us with his own light and life and love. That, and of course, that is, by the way, that is the light that literally shines from him, is the light of unfailing love. That is the light of Jesus Christ. And that's the light that lights the city of God.
If Christ is the light, what is the darkness? Or maybe we should say, what isn't the darkness?
Well, the way that the entire New Testament wants to talk about darkness, you know, it doesn't quite take it, and everybody wants to make a sort of dualistic way of approaching it, but that's not quite the way the New Testament takes it. Darkness is, remember how the Old Testament say a darkness that could be felt fell upon Egypt. This darkness of unbelief, this darkness of the mind that is so darkened that it can only conceive of God as the tyrant who's out to get you, or who wants, who's only in it for what's in it for him, who does, you know, he's not love, he's not actually giving to you. Did God really say, oh, you're not really going to die? I mean, the whole thing the serpent began with our parents there was that they began to be certain that God was holding out on them. And that darkness, it's a darkness of the mind, and it darkens one's whole experience of life. As long as one is still captive in that and believes in it, Satan wants to hold us in that darkness with him, this suspicion and hatred and fear of this one who only loves us.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, on this Wednesday, February the 6th. He's director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, we'll talk about the connection between darkness and blindness in Scripture.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In about a half hour, we'll continue our series on the book of Proverbs, getting an introduction to Lady Wisdom from Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Will, what's the connection in Scripture between darkness and blindness?
Yeah, not being able to see, being blind by nature. Truly, he's the only one who wasn't blind by nature. He saw the world as it really is. He saw his father as he really is. He saw the devil as he really is. He saw reality. And he lived his life that way. But he lived that way among all of us who are very much blind by nature. And so all the healing miracles of the blind over and over again pointed to the way that when Christ comes, he wants to literally open our eyes, the eyes of our minds, or the eyes of understanding, as Paul would say, to begin to see and grasp that we've gotten it all backwards and all wrong, and that it's more wonderful and joyous than we had ever dared to hope or believe.
Stanza 2, I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness shine on my path. and show me the way to the Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
I want to see.
Would you walk us through the mosaic of scripture that's in this second stanza?
Okay, so first of all, it's starting out with the beatific vision, right? I want to see the brightness of God. Images of Moses praying on the mountain, show me your glory, and God not allowing him to see that glory yet. You know, he had to wait. He only got to see the backsides. But here you're hearing that the brightness of God is going to be revealed to you through looking at Jesus. To the beatific vision is to see Jesus. So when he promised in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He was saying, you're going to see God in me. Philip said, show us the Father would be enough. And he's like, Philip, have I been with you this long? You don't get it. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So this big, and think about how in the entirety of the New Testament, the usual term, for the what we call the second coming isn't coming. It's parousia. It's the appearing, right? Or the presence, the appearing of Christ. So you think about how Paul would say, Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. That seeing him, you are going to be transfigured yourself. John put it this way in 1 John 3, beloved, now we are the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. Also think about how Jesus prayed, you know, right before his passion, John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You also can't help but think of the prophecy in Malachi. You know, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness is going to rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth with joy, you know, like calves of the stall. And the prophecy of Zechariah, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, the sun from on high hath visited us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And to say, show us the way to the Father, John 14, right? You know, well, Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And it's like, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Show us the way to the Father is show us yourself. That's not saying, show us how we can get to the Father. That's saying, show us yourself. Shine before us as the way to the Father. It's a beautiful prayer.
I mean, again, we come back to this notion that following Jesus is not somehow, he walks and then we somehow have to manage to walk in his footprint.
Yeah.
But that he is leading us as the shepherd leads the sheep.
Yeah.
He is bringing us along with him. And his goal is to bring us to the Father. I know we've talked about this in the context of the Trinity
many times.
That how Jesus brings us and presents us to the Father. Talk a little bit about that.
I was just having to think about how it's pictured in Isaiah 35. That, to me, is one of the most stunning passages at the end. You know, there's this way, and if anybody walks along the way, they're safe. The wild animals can't get them. And what's going on in that way? They're singing as they march home to Zion. And the redeemed of the Lord return, the redeemed of the Lord, the ones he has bought back, they return, and they come home to Zion with singing. Who's leading the procession? Christ himself. He's the one at the head of the whole thing. And as they go home, they're singing with everlasting joy upon their heads. Sorrow, sighing, they have to run away. They can't be around this crowd because they are following Jesus as he walks in his obedience to the Father with just absolute delight and joy.
I'm also put in mind of Simeon's Nunc Dimittis.
Oh, yeah.
Which has got both the seeing and the glory in it, too.
Yeah, for sure. And that Simeon recognized that he had an experience right there as he held the child where he has seen the glory of Israel. And so he was ready to go in peace. That is to go back to the Father in peace, because now he had the way to the Father given to him, literally in his arms. Here's the way to the Father.
He'd seen the Father.
Yep.
He talks about not only the glory of your people Israel, but also this child is the light to the nations.
The light for all nations. And that's huge. Or the way that Paul would say in Ephesians 2:18, through him, we both, Gentiles and Jews, so both nations, the Jews and the Gentiles, we have access by one Spirit to the Father through him, through Jesus. He's the way to the Father.
Stanza 3. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. That eschatological, explicitly put in that stanza.
And so, you know, one of the bad things in a hymnal is a hymn that can fit in five or six different spots, right? You have to select a spot and you put it there. And so it tends to get slotted that way. This hymn is far more than an Epiphany hymn. This is a hymn that would be appropriate during Advent. This is a hymn that is appropriate during the close of the church here with its focus on the coming of Christ because of the way the eschaton is described here at the end. And notice, I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I'm looking. That almost rings to you of the words of the Nicene Creed, right? And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And then it's right out of Scripture too. Titus 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not two things. The great God is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of him. And then I want to be with Jesus. People think, what about the resurrection of the body talk? You know, are you denying that? No, but you're granting that Philippians 1 is also there, right? Paul very explicitly says, you know, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, and that's far better. I know that if I stay here in the flesh, it's going to mean labor that's good for you. So maybe I'm going to be here for a while longer. But I know what I want, and that's to depart and be with Christ. And then, of course, the language of run with patience the race. You can't hear that and not immediately run to Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You mentioned that earlier, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy. We want to know the joy of Jesus. This is his joy when he can stand before the Father and, in the words from Isaiah, say, lo, I and the children thou hast given me. This is the joy of Jesus, that he can present us to the Father clothed in his righteousness without any sin, without any stain, and welcomed and brought home. He comes from the Father, a single son. He comes back to the Father at the head of this vast multitude.
We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's authored the books Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and a devotional resource titled Celebrating the Saints. You can find out about both of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Pastor Whedon's books, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and Celebrating the Saints. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. He had mentioned Hebrews 12. I'm also put in mind of Paul writing to the Philippians about a race, a track, a goal that he is straining forward toward, even as Christ has taken hold of him. We'll talk about that after this.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During February, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Perry Lutheran Homes. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always, until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus, hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago, discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are studying the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, before the break, you were talking about Hebrews 12. I'm also put in mind in this stanza of Paul talking about running toward that goal, straining toward that goal in the book of Philippians.
Philippians 3. It's another very, very tight passage that connects to this song. I also think you have echoes here of Job, right? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand upon the earth in the latter day, and that though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And of course, I can never get away from Psalm 16 on this too, which Paul, applies to the descent of Christ into hell and his resurrection from the dead. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Why do you want to see Jesus? Because to be in his presence, that is fullness of joy. Joy is a byproduct of the presence of Jesus.
Two final questions before we hear the entire hymn and get your final thoughts on it. You said that this would make a good end of the church year, Advent. Obviously, it's set with an epiphany. You got to make some choice here. What about a Lord's Supper hymn?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. Because you want to see the coming of Christ. You want to be with Jesus, even though he is hidden beneath the bread and the wine. He is very, very much there. And when you go forward to receive his body and his blood, you are indeed enlightened by the light of the Lamb. He shines upon you. Yes, this is where we have our most wonderful participation. The teasing taste that we get of the feast that is coming, of the joy of the parousia, we get it every time we come together for the supper of the Lord.
It is where we have, as fully as we can now, that mystical union that you say that this is a prayer for.
Yep, yep. The Eucharist is the answer to this prayer. Yeah.
Then finally, maybe one of the things that might put people off on this hymn is that the language is so remarkably simple, even though, as you have pointed out abundantly here, it is also 100% the very word of God, almost verbatim from Holy Scripture. Talk about how our hymnody can make use of both things, both beautiful poetry that really does require a few brain cells, and then simple language that simply comes straight across.
Yeah, I don't think there should be any kind of a juxtaposition between those two things. If you will, there's the highbrow and the lowbrow, right? The Word of God speaks in both. And frankly, this one comes across mostly in lowbrow talk because it's almost all from John, the stuff in it. And that's how John writes. When you were starting to learn Greek, Pastor, which did you want to read, the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Luke, huh? Well,
I only had the ability to read the Gospel of John when I was first starting.
He is so simple and clear in the way that he talks. And that's, that kind of language comes into hymnody. And actually, it tends to characterize liturgy more than even just him, because liturgy tends to be just scripture itself. So it tends to be much more straightforward than the high poetry of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to Them. I mean, there's beautiful poetry in there. It's awesome stuff. But this is simple, and this is just beautiful in its simplicity.
Let's hear the entire hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to Thank you.
The Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, sung by the University of Texas Chamber Singers. Will, your final thoughts on this Epiphany hymn?
Right before we came back, you said, it's like a deathbed hymn. And I was like, yes! This is the longing of the Christian. It's a longing for Christ. It's longing to be with him, to let his life become our life, his joy, our joy, his peace, our peace, his presence to be the very fabric of our being. And that song, it's beautiful. It's, you know, the way that that choir did that, especially, I mean, did you hear there was almost aching longing in the way that, especially in that second stanza with the beautiful harmonies. But then this certain triumph at the end, you heard the organ just kind of coming, you know, powerfully crashing in there to say, you know, but this is where it ends. It ends in you actually having the joy of Jesus because you yourself have been brought into his presence. You're there at the end. You hold that before yourself. He endured everything. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, because he was, you know, focused on the joy that was set before him. This is what Christians do. This hymn enables us to focus on the joy that is set before us, that is awaiting us in the kingdom, and then that we can endure anything that comes along, anything at all. And we know that it's going to be okay in the end, because if we see Jesus, if we have Jesus, that's all we need. That's all we want.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and Celebrating the Saints. Will, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. A joy to be with you.
If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen anywhere, anytime, day or night, absolutely free, LutheranPublicRadio.org, or on the LPR mobile app, Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, continuing our series on the book of Proverbs and introducing Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 3. Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.